Something happened a minute ago that, something happened a minute ago that I have been waiting for a long time. It's just a little bit ill-timed. Aha! Look up there. Right up there. You can see that triangle of light? Well, the triangle is also the Greek letter delta. And in math, delta means change. Yes, okay. So that's really what I'm talking about. Well, look at that. Isn't that amazing? Thank you. All right. I'm going to start reading this very long passage from Ephesians. I have to find it again first. This is another prison letter from Paul. When you're in prison, I guess you'll have a lot of time in your hands. So this passage is long and it's abstract. I think it can be summed up in three different ways. One is that beautiful patch of light up there. Second is Susan's beautiful prayer, which we read out loud a little while ago. And third, I'll probably only say this a tab, it's also, in a sense, a very long version of the title of the sermon. You know it don't come easy. Perhaps Ringo Starr was inspired by this passage as he was writing that song. Perhaps not. So, this is a challenging passage, mostly because it is so very, very abstract. But I think to give ourselves a little hook to hold on to, think about the necessity of change, think about the change that we either could make or would like to make. So, of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. Grace and power. Although I'm the very least of the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. I pray therefore that you may not lose heart over my sufferings for you. They are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the God from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. That's really important. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay. I've never really been afraid of the dark, but the past couple of years have made me wonder if that makes sense. There seems to be more darkness around us, and it's not the slow, calm dark of a silent winter. It's not the cool, welcoming dark just past twilight in July. It's an encroaching, threatening, murderous dark that growls. It smells like rot and mildew. Not the benign mildew in my basement, but a toxic mold that destroys what it covers and will not be killed. I've also gotten grumpy about light. I'm annoyed and I'm irritated by conventional praise of light that I can't believe in. Someone praises starlight and I think grumpily, that's not light. It's just some distant decoration that vanishes in clouds. Someone sings this little light of mine, and I don't think about the small blessings that we can bestow on each other. I'm more apt to think of a feeble flashlight. We're asked to raise 1,000 points of light, but you can't read under a point of light, or 1,000 disparate, diffused little twinkles that vanish in an hour. You could be wondering why at the beginning of a new year I'm being so cynical and mean about light. Why? You could reasonably say, don't I stop whining and look around at the points and flashes of light that shine out of the grim darkness? Isn't a flash or a gleam better than nothing? Yes, it is better than nothing. But this season of Epiphany is supposed to be all about light, big, important, lasting light, about a great showing forth, a manifestation of something new and something shining, something lasting, something that will change our thinking, change our actions, and change the world. Here's a story from Matthew. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem to seek the king of the Jews. His birth was announced by a star, a great dramatic light in the sky. Herod was alarmed. He wanted no rivals. He sent the Magi off to find this threatening king, promising falsely that he would go worship him. We know how it ended. The Magi followed the star, found the child, then, being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went home by another path. Even after repeating this familiar story, I'm still puzzled and troubled by the idea of Epiphany. We've been trained to think of Epiphany as a great flash of light, of revelation, of understanding. Oh, I see. Now everything makes sense. Perhaps the Magi felt that flash of revelation. Perhaps not. Perhaps all epiphanies are not sudden or bright or flashing. The word epiphany is rooted in a word for dawn, and dawn does not flash. It comes slowly, almost imperceptibly. The ink-dark sky in the east turns dark gray, then lighter and lighter, pale blue, creamy white, or just faint gray. Epiphany not only means dawn, it can also refer to a visible manifestation of a god or God, particularly in the midst of humanity. That's more like it, something that offers hope, perhaps, in the middle of our ordinary gloom. We often praise small, kind, generous acts, and here's where this gets a little nasty, sorry. The little flashes of light, and I, for one, am always guilty of giving these things too much credit. Someone quietly buys lunch for a homeless man. Schools, including mine, sponsor canned good collections at Thanksgiving, and offices, including mine, can collect gently used clothing for those whose jobs pay so poorly that they can't buy jeans and jackets. We, and let's get personal and first person here, collect gently used books for kids whose schools have no libraries. It would be mean and self-righteous to condemn these small acts. But it's wrong to think that they create anything more than a flash of light in a very dark world. We can perform these sweet, easy acts of painless charity, but we shouldn't think that they'll really change anything. There will be people going hungry and cold, and kids without books in 2019, just as in 1919. And in 2019, there are dark, murderous, toxic places, prisons, schools, mines, factories, detentions, centers, farms, places that cannot and will not be purified by 1,000 scattered points of light. You can see where I'm going. I'm looking, as I bet we all are, for illumination that is stronger, harsher, and more lasting than a point of light, or 1,000. A light that exposes, cleanses, and heals. This light don't come easy. We have sunshine laws, named not because they were passed on a bright day in July, but because their makers remembered their mothers and aunts hanging wet laundry on the sheet on the line to be dried and bleached by the sun. The sun is more than 1,000 points of light. It is concentrated, focusing all its energy on one spot, or at least it seems that way. If you put something moldy or rotten or toxic into full sun, the mold and the rot and the poison will be weakened, if not killed, and it's less apt to spread. Now, here's where I want to start talking about some work that has brought light to the world, real, blazing, purifying light like the sun. I could have chosen any one of a number of amazing projects that really do create change. These projects don't wipe the surface, they create genuine, permanent difference. They are filled with strong, energetic light. But I want to focus on a project that began with a flash of realization, one kind of epiphany, and made itself into something else that was not a flash, but a blasting, blazing, purifying light. One of the best books I've read recently, and a lot of you have read this, tells this kind of story. It's blazing, purifying work in a very dark place. The book is Just Mercy by a man named Brian Stevenson. As I said, many of you have read this. I cannot recommend it strongly enough. Just Mercy tells how Stevenson was a young, eager, and naive law student and took an internship in Georgia to work with death row prisoners who could not get lawyers. He was sent to prisons to tell condemned men that they would not be executed anytime soon. That was supposed to be good news. The first prisoner he talked to, a young man named Henry, had not, in 2 years, seen anyone who was not a prisoner or a guard. Stevenson told Henry he had at least a year before an execution date would be set. That was all he had to say. He couldn't do anything more. So they talked. They talked for 3 hours. They talked about prison and law school, about family and music, and the deep loneliness of prison life. As Henry was being led off in shackles and handcuffs that cut into his wrist, he stopped. He raised his head and began to sing. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Bryan Stevenson was a church boy. He knew that song well, but he likely never expected to hear it from a condemned man. The song was a gift from Henry to a very young man who, from that epiphanic moment, understood something new about redemption and hope. That talk and that song sowed Stevenson his life work, the struggle against the unfair treatment of very vulnerable men and women. They were flashes of light, epiphanies that became more than flashes. He made them into lasting, purifying lights, blazing into the world and changing it. Stevenson realized quickly the work he wanted to do could not be done by interns and volunteers, part-time people. He created the Equal Justice Initiative, a very large, complex legal practice that works for those who get less justice than they deserve, less justice than they would get if they were white, middle class, and privileged. Stevenson and his colleagues work in many ways. They listen to the stories of the men and women who have been unjustly treated. Some of these people are innocent of the crimes for which they have been convicted and imprisoned. Some of them are guilty, but are being punished far beyond what the law requires or even allows. These people from the Equal Justice Initiative go after facts, histories, information, doggedly and passionately. They expose laws, practices, procedures that create and maintain justice. They have won freedom for wrongly convicted people. They have ended life without parole sentences for juveniles. Think about that. A juvenile gets life without parole. They have fought excessive sentencing practices. All this hard work brings light into very dark spaces. Their work is hard, harsh, focused, and tough. They fight darkness systematically by exposing the systematic practices of injustice. These practices are not accidental or collateral damage. These practices of injustice are deliberate, ingrained, improved by the powerful, and, like black mold, very hard to kill. But strong, focused, intelligent light can weaken injustice. It don't come easy, but it's happening all around. It don't come easy, but God's people are making light. It's light that ripples into the darkness, replicating itself in harsh, hot, sterilizing glares. It's light that moves and glows, shimmers gently, and invites us to make our own light. Amen.